I would like to pass over to Liam to talk about
Project Almanac.
That film that I have forgotten again. It's so generic. Project Almanac. Oh,
I heard time travel found footage cliche. Yeah, it just kind of piles all the cliches.
Seriously, it writes itself. Sorry, yeah. Liam, I'll let you talk.
Anyway, Project Almanac. Project Almanac is the found footage film about how a bunch of annoying American teenagers recreate time travel.
Liam, stop there. Oh. I had a clip and I'd forgotten about it.
Okay. Should I just keep talking? Or
well, it depends whether or not the clip plays, doesn't it?
It's okay. It's okay. It'll be okay. Chris, come on, we're close.
All right, you guys ready for this?
Wow, what an informative movie clip that was. Thank you very, very much.
Like someone sat
creators.
On one of those secondary school keyboards.
Yeah. Got, what, one line of dialogue and then...
To describe it to anyone listening, it was that was five teenagers sort of doing a group hug and then things start glowing blue and a lot of leaves conveniently lying around start spinning around them and then they sort of fly all over the place and they go back in time. So they recreate time travel and then go around to prove to the audience how utterly vacuous and dull they are. First of all, I mean, I basically have to treat it as a sort of a series of separate chunks because it's so badly put together that this is the only way you can really confront it. First of all, the found footage part. I mean, it was lurching and stuttering all over the place. To be honest, I had to quite a few times look away from the cinema screen for about a few minutes each time to prevent myself from being sick because I got really bad motion sickness from this film. So this isn't a complete review. I have missed a little bit of it. I kind of wish I'd missed all of it, to be honest. The plot is just nonsensical and bland. You have a sort of an early setup of the main character. His sort of motivation seems to be he's trying to get a scholarship to get into MIT because his mother doesn't have a job. They're sort of, you know, living quite poorly. But then that later goes on to, he discovers time travel and plans to save his dad. But then that completely goes out the window as well. The ending doesn't really have any kind of coherence with the start. The characters, I mean, they're just rather bland. You have the sort of, you know, the fat comic relief friend.
He's not really even that fat. It's like someone said, we need a fat guy. And
but
probably
not too
someone
fat.
Who's slightly foreign as well for comic
yes.
relief.
Well, I can't tell if his friend is Asian, but he might be sort of Latino, I'm not sure. But actually, the actor who plays the Asian one is 33. And at one point in the film, he is shown to be making out with a woman who the character is 16 and the actress is 19, which is a bit weird. Anyway, the characters. I mean, it's they sort of run around and rattle off buzz phrases and there's not very much meaningful development of the characters. It's got Hollywood sci-fi that would be laughable if it wasn't so insulting. There's a part where one of the characters sort of goes, oh, of course, we build a hydrogen fusion reactor. And to anyone who isn't, you know, sort of doesn't know much about physics, these things are gigantic and currently we can't make one that actually produces energy. And the gall...
I haven't seen this film, but I had a quick read of the synopsis. And it says he travels back in time by exploding a hydrogen canister. Or going
They get a load of hydrogen canisters that they just steal from the school and no one seems to notice.
No hydrogen, no time travel.
Yeah, basically.
That's a real line from the film.
gets followed up later. But yeah, it's basically insulting to the audience. So anyone who's remotely scientifically literate knows that any of this stuff is ridiculous.
Well, just literate, full stop.
Yeah.
if Michael Bay was involved, I think.
Yeah, it does explain.
I mean,
a lot.
That sounds very elitist,
and
but I think
another annoying thing about the sci-fi dialogue is that every single time someone says, "Oh, we need, you know, ferrox peroxide or something," someone always invariably goes, "In English, please," which is very irritating. sorry. It's also got sort of your typical haphazard attempts at humour that you get in those Michael Bay films that don't really go very well. What else? The sci-fi elements are incredibly poor. The time travel is very dull. I mean, there's a wealth of you know, content out there for people to look at that has really interesting explorations of how time travel could work and may work, and, you know, the different sort of loops and paradoxes you encounter. In this, it has none of it. It basically makes up rules as it goes along. The only one that seems to have some continuation throughout the film is if you see yourself, you both ping out of existence after sort of going sort of like static kind of noise, and then you're disappeared forever. Doesn't really make any sense.
So it's a bit like the old photo device in Back to the Future.
Yeah, sort of, in real time. But actually not at all.
Yeah, it actually doesn't...
Like, that sort of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
This genuine... This is just if you see yourself in the past, you just go... And then you,
Their way of dealing with paradoxes is that it just...
Yeah, their way you both disappear out of existence completely.
No further explanations given.
The way they prevent any kind of interesting exploration of time travel is with this mechanic, because you can't go back in time and give yourself information. You ping out of existence. This is their way of preventing there being any kind of, you know, need for them to make, oh, I don't know, a clever script or a good film. What else? There's a part where they send a toy car back in time, and it shows up a few minutes later fused to a wall, and they just conveniently didn't notice
it. Halfway fused into a wall.
How on earth, if this car gets fused to the wall by being sent back 2 minutes, do they not, every time they go back in time, there's loads of leaves flying around, why do they not get, you know, loads of foliage embedded in their legs every time they teleport? That's not explained. I wish it was. I wish it happened.
Although, would it made of a bigger, better film if they had foliage?
If they just got back in time, every time they travelled.
If it had that scene when the person went, "Oh my god, there's a leaf in my leg." Yes, it would have been a better film.
There's a leaf in my leg. We'd have gone into the movie quotes of all time.
As Harry mentioned, to our horror, watching the end credits, we realised that one of the producers was Michael Bay, and we've been inadvertently paying for his next car or whatever. His spectre does particularly linger over a few scenes of the film.
I mean, Bay bashing can be unfair, but because I thought Pain and Gain was all right. I'll just throw that
out. The product placement is garish. There is a bit where a Red Bull can is slowly floating towards you, and also
Is that in Pain and Gain?
No, in Project Almanac.
Okay, there's a bit where
a Red Bull can is slowly floating to you. You get a nice, good shot of the logo.
And it's spurting out
And also,
gives you wings, yeah.
There's a bit where they require a graphics card. So as opposed to buying one on the internet for about £10, they decided to dismantle one of their friends' Xbox 360, which gets a lot of nice shots of it. He's going, "Oh, my Xbox 360 is totally tricked out, man," or something. It's ridiculous. You can just buy these online.
The logo right in front of
you.
You get shots right of the logo just panning up.
Beautiful. It's ridiculous.
I should have known it was a Bay film, actually, when that happened, when the Red Bull stunt happened, when literally stuff explodes and the guy goes, "Quick, get a photo of that," to the person with the camera, and they go up and there's a slow motion, no explanation, because, you know, it's real life being filmed. Why is there slow-mo? Well, to show the Red Bull in a more flattering light.
But I should have realised the spectre of Michael Bay was here when there's the sort of women who were supposed to be, you know, they're in high school, they're supposed to be like 17 or something. They look like 30-year-old strippers or something going around. It's ridiculous. It's got the sexualization of a girl who should be about 15 in the context of the film. So that kind of appalling, gross, you know, misogynistic undercurrent is also there.
It sort of takes off any of the, you know, inadvertently cute badness of a bad film.
Yeah, there are no elements of it that are like, "This film is so bad it's good." That's not there. Overall, the film is just lazy. It sets goals incredibly low and then meets them, but, you know, that doesn't really mean anything because, you know, there's no effort particularly put into this film, insofar as I can see. It's not, you know, it's not entertaining particularly. It's not really intellectually stimulating with a sort of lazy approach to sci-fi. It certainly has no artistic value of any kind. Don't see it.